This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb. And tonight's guest, Ohio Congressman William Ayers. Tonight's subject is the poverty program, A Boondoggle. You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, Night People. This is Gibb. Standing by in the House of Representatives office building in Washington, D.C. is Republican Representative William Ayers of Ohio. Congressman Ayers is the minority leader of the Education and Labor Committee in the House. And if you'd like to ask the congressman a question on tonight's topic, is the poverty program a boondoggle? Give us a call here at Night Call. Now, our national Night Call number is area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may call from anywhere collect. Our operators are on duty. Our Night Call lines are now open. Now, please make that call station to station. The number to call us at is area code 313-846-6601. And we invite you to join us here on Night Call, and particularly if you have a comment on the poverty program. Congressman Ayers, what is the poverty program?
Well, a lot of people are trying to find out just what this poverty program is all about. In fact, it has been said that it is a program to romance the poor. Actually, it was politically inspired in an election year, and at the time the first bill was passed, my own bill was defeated because it was an election year, because my bill would have set up a survey to determine what programs we now had in this field of fighting poverty, and also what type of program should be established if we were going to really help the poor.
In other words, this is a duplication of programs that already exist?
It's not only a duplication of programs that are already in existence, but it has overlapped some of the programs and has made it more difficult for the existing programs to operate. The politicians, of course, wanted this bill because it was a chance to set up a series of Tammany Halls all over the country. In fact, you might sum it up, Russ, by saying that the poverty program is a mixture of ideas, but most of the things we have been doing for years. We've had, of course, loans to small business. We've been doing this for a period of almost 10 years. We've had loans to the poor farm families. The agriculture department already does this. The Republicans were talking about Head Start programs long before Sergeant Shriver was appointed by President Johnson. We've had student aid programs throughout the last 10 years. In fact, former Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, Mr. Celebrezze, testified before the committee that we already had 42 programs in existence that dealt either directly or indirectly with fighting poverty.
Well, now, how many programs would we have now with the new poverty programs?
Well, they're coming up with new programs, new ideas. They're not really programs, Russ, almost weekly. In fact, many of these programs were established on the spur of the moment to make certain that the appropriated funds were going to be used prior to the close of the fiscal year. We had programs started at the end of the year and statements made as to what was happening just to make certain that the money did get out. In fact, many of these programs that were started late in the fiscal year have already been dropped. And, of course, the statements that were made at that time were most misleading. In fact, Mr. Shriver and his battery of public relations experts have managed to gloss over most of these lags and failures in the anti-poverty program. Mr. Shriver listed, for instance, 265,000 enrollees in the Neighborhood Youth Corps. But the 100,000th enrollee was inducted at a White House ceremony just before the close of the fiscal year. The same thing applied to the Job Corps, where the number that were actually in the Corps was completely erroneous.
Well, Congressman Ayers, do you believe that poverty does exist in the United States?
Well, of course, poverty exists. We've had poverty with us since the beginning of time. On the other hand, you can't just correct the evils that create poverty by huge expenditures of money. The trouble with this program has been, and the reason it's a boondoggle, was that there wasn't any planning in advance, which my bill covered, to determine just where the pockets were and what could be done. Because in the final analysis, humanity is somewhat like water. Left alone, it's going to seek its own level. But we do have a moral obligation to assist the unfortunate, but we do not accomplish this by misleading them, and as I repeat, by romancing the poor. There have been so many people in the United States that have needed help, but we have come up with nearly over $100 billion a year in public and private funds to fight poverty. For instance, just the Appalachia program, again, to take care of those people in the Appalachian area, was a big help in some fields, but there again, it was a duplication in many areas with the highway program because all building roads to get into these areas.
Well, now, is the Appalachia program separate and distinct from the poverty program?
The Appalachia program is completely separate from the poverty program. Just as the hiring of the youth this summer for our part-time postal workers was separate from the poverty program, but the same thing happened there that's happening in the poverty program. We had these thousands of youths that were hired for part-time work, supposedly were going to be picked on the basis of need, but they were picked on the basis of the politics of their parents rather than any need for the individual. In fact, in my own hometown of Akron, Ohio, the list from the Unemployment Bureau was sent to the postmaster of the youths that were seeking employment, and then he in turn sent that list to the Democratic county chairman, who was the one who made the final decision as to which youth was going to be hired. In fact, over half of the youth hired had never even applied at the United States Employment Service for employment. Their fathers had good political connections.
Would you say that this is opening up a giant pork barrel?
Well, there's no doubt about it that there's a real pork barrel here, but it's I'd rather term it a political patronage operation because it has helped some people. But I'm convinced that no Democratic politician will ever know poverty as long as this program is in existence. In fact, this goes for the ward healers and the political leaders in our large cities, because most of them are drawing from $50 to $100 a day as consultants. We brought out here two months ago that there were over 500 consultants with very little qualification to be a consultant in this field, and some of them were making as much as $100 a day.
This is under the present program.
Under the present so-called anti-poverty program. In fact, a Democratic congressman from the city of New York, Mr. Farbstein, took the floor of the House and practically said that a Mr. Haddad had received this position on a consultant basis, and his real job was hiring political people in Mr. Farbstein's district because Mr. Haddad was planning on running against him in the primary. This was a political fester because Mr. Farbstein had defeated Mr. Haddad in the last election. In fact, Chairman Powell of Harlan, the chairman of the Education Labor Committee, has stated that this program, the way it's operating, is a giant fiesta of political patronage, with political machines being built up to fight, in some cities, the incumbent organization.
Our guest tonight, Congressman William Ayers, Republican from Ohio. Our topic is the poverty program, a boondoggle. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Our topic tonight on Night Call is the poverty program, A Boondoggle. Our guest, Congressman William Ayers, Republican from Ohio. And if you'd like to ask the congressman a question or make a comment on the poverty program, give us a call here at Night Call. Now, it's very easy to do. All you have to do is pick up your telephone, and call us at area code 313-84-6661. Now, remember, you may dial us direct, and if you wish, you may make that call collect. Just reverse the charges. Our Night Call number, area code 313-84-6661. Now, our operators are on duty, our lines are now open, and we await your comment here on Night Call. Congressman, we have a caller from Indianapolis, Indiana, a listener on WFBM, Miss Mary Holman. Good evening, Mary. How are you?
Well, fine. I would like to speak to my congressman from Ohio.
Yes, go right ahead, Mary.
We're from the Middle West. And don't you think that given the chance, we could solve some of our poverty problems ourselves?
Yes, Mary. I think given a chance, you can solve many of your problems the same as they have done in my area of Ohio.
Well, then may I say something else? I am president of a board of directors, and our purpose is to open a shop in the idea of a fine specialty shop, selling the goods made by the blind, the handicapped, and senior citizens, but not advertising it as such. And that's the name. And we have been incorporated nonprofit since March. It's the Potpourri Shop. Because we will accept anything that is hand-created. And we are also going to deal in services. And,
well, Mary, let me ask you this. I'm familiar with the situation dealing with the poverty program down at Camp Atterbury.
Well,
I haven't gotten a report on that in the last week, as you know, that's a real scandal over there.
That's very bad.
My heart is very close to Camp Atterbury. I was inducted into the Army there, and I was happier to leave because I was also discharged.
What is this Camp Atterbury situation,
Camp Atterbury,
Congressman?
Camp Atterbury is a job corps.
This is a shop. A specialty shop.
Yes, we understand that, Mary.
But what I was going to get at in answer to Mary's question, one of the things that is wrong, and she has brought out a good point in hiring these people, but one of the things that has been wrong with the Job Corps operation, all we have been doing is taking these boys off the street who have, in many cases, been in trouble before, and transferring to another section of the country. But we aren't training them to earn a living when they get out of the Corps. And that's the real crux of the problem. What we should have been doing is expanding the Manpower Retraining Act, which was a Republican proposal, which has proved to be very effective. because unless the individual can earn to make a living and have the facilities to earn, he's not going to be able to lift himself out of poverty.
Well, now, wait a minute. We haven't offered the boys that have been sent to Atterbury anything. Let's face it, I'm a Hoosier. Too many people are quitting. Something is wrong down here. And I'm not the person who can answer all the questions.
Well, Mary, I think what we'll do is we'll ask some of our friends.
What I'm trying to do is to offer to those I can
some help.
Dignity, self-respect, and the ability to earn something above their substance. You know, just their living.
Let me ask you, do you know your congressman in Indianapolis personally?
I know my congressmen, I know my senators, and the rest of them, because I've been in contact.
Well, that's good. The one thing that will help correct this situation that's going on in Washington is that people will familiarize themselves with their representatives. See, it's a little difficult for those of us who are Republicans to get much done down here in the House of Representatives.
I'm a Republican, if that helps any.
We have 290
Democrats on my board.
We have 294 Democrats and 141 Republicans, so you can see how difficult it is to get our proposals adopted.
Mary, thank you for calling Night Call.
Democrats serve on my board.
Well, Mary, thank you very, very much for your comments.
You're welcome.
Good night. Mary Holman from Indianapolis, Indiana, a lady listening on WFBM. Let's go out now to Baltimore, Maryland, a listener on WBAL, Mrs. Margaret Harmon. Good evening, Margaret. Will you speak right up? You're on Night Call, ma'am.
All right.
Your comment, please.
Right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I knew if I waited long enough, I'd find somebody I could agree with.
Okay.
I just wanted to thank Congressman Ayers coming on national radio hookup and having the nerve to say the things he's saying. We've had our share of $100 a day advisors and going consultants in Baltimore too. But anybody who dares to open their mouth and disagree with any of these programs is just about laughed out of town. What I'd like to know is how do we educate the public? I mean, instead of, I know what they want to hear is moonlight and roses, but I don't think it's fair to promise them things that they're never going to get.
Congressman?
I think Mary's question was how do we educate the public as to what is going on in this field and other fields?
Yes, sir.
Well, of course, the members of Congress do have a responsibility to speak up and explain to the public things that are going on, information that perhaps we have access to that the average citizen doesn't. Also, I think it is good for our neighborhood groups to meet with their elected representatives and have meetings discussing the current issues, because it's going to take a real force to carry the message. And one individual or just a small group can't do it, Margaret. But it's gratifying to know that people like yourself do want to get the information and are asking questions as to how to get it out. In fact, this has gotten to the point where the people in Washington seem to want to be making all the decisions. I was able to win a small victory for the American people by reinstating the governor's veto. They'd even gone so far as to say that the governor of a state who didn't want a program coming in wouldn't have the right to say so.
I know, and it's just, it's unbelievable almost. Here in Maryland, we have, really all I can think of at the moment is one Republican congressman, and I'm not even sure that that's 100% with some of the votes we've had from him this year, but, anyway, we can keep trying.
Well, it's nice of you to call, Mary.
Margaret, thank you for calling Night Call.
This
is Margaret Harmon, a lady from Baltimore, Maryland, and a listener on WBAL. We have a caller now, sir, in Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN, Mrs. Edith Hansen. Good evening, Edith. Will you speak right up? You're on Night Call.
Good evening.
I think that the entire country has quite a political package thrown at them that was simulated through the 1964 election. And since it was placed in the hands of the higher echelon, for instance, like the mayors of the different cities, they had political payoffs to pay off, and they used a lot of this money for top administration appointees. But the money has become obscure, and the poor are less frustrating and wasted. I think the operation should be called Operation Fortis. What do you think, sir?
Well, I think, Edith, you've summed it up very well. As we said before, this program was one to romance the poor rather than to really help the poor. They have been taking advantage of. And I think you're going to find this true within the next 2 or 3 months. I can see it festering now, not only the information coming into my office, but coming into the committee and the investigations that we have out in the field. See, ironically, although we authorized $1.7 billion, at the same time we were doing that, the Congress authorized thousands of dollars to confirm that the program wasn't working at the same time. And now that the poor people have been led to believe, they've been romanced that something great is going to happen, and it isn't happening, they're not only becoming disturbed, but they're becoming angry. And they're becoming angry at the local leaders. They're becoming aware of the fact that these jobs have been given out on a political patronage basis. And the only people that have been aided have been the political bosses who have received the job, and it hasn't filtered down to the individual who is really poor.
Edith? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sir, don't you think that this delay and frustration was what triggered that riot in Watts?
Congressman?
I think I got the question. Did this frustration trigger the riot in Watts?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it. In fact, when people are promised something and they have a great anticipation built up that something's going to happen, and then it doesn't happen, it's very easy for them to become excited. And I hate to think this, but I honestly feel that in many of our major cities where this promise has been made and this frustration is growing up, that you're going to see Watts duplicated. In fact, we are sending an investigating crew into several northern cities within the next couple of weeks to find out just exactly what the situation is, because we've been advised by responsible local leaders. If this program continues to be nothing but the political boondoggle and these promises keep up and nothing happens, these people are really going to cut loose.
Mrs. Hansen, thank you for calling Night Call.
Yes, thank you.
It's been nice talking to you. This is Edith Hansen from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN. Congressman Ayers, could you clear up a point for me? The poverty program, had it been instituted in Los Angeles at the time of the riots, or was this just a promise at this time?
Well, the program had been in effect there as far as the money was concerned, but the local mayor, Sam Yorty, hadn't had any real say over how it was going to operate. And they moved in and appointed all these people with very high-paying jobs, but the local people weren't considered at all on it.
Well, now, is this federal appointees we're talking about?
Oh, yes. These are all federal appointees. They're named out of Sergeant Shriver's office, of course, many times with the recommendation of a local ward healer or political boss within the area. But the thing that helped trigger the Watt situation is the people who were involved, the poor people, had no voice in what was to be done. And the truth of the matter is, very little had been done.
Do you feel that the poverty program really would have held off the riots in Los Angeles had it been instituted?
It's pretty hard to, I'd hate to say it would have, but we do know that Mayor Yorty of Los Angeles said that the OEOs withholding the funds contributed to the Watts riot. And, of course, we're up against same thing there that we are with the appointees of the Job Corps. It's the caliber of people that we're dealing with in many cases, and no one has really taken the time, which we would have under my bill, to find out how you can rehabilitate these people. Because there is a real problem. In fact, I recall Chief Parker's statement that of the thousands that were arrested because of the rioting, 76%, I believe it was, already had a criminal record. And, of course, now we're finding that many of these people that we're taking into the Job Corps fall in that same category. So it's not only a matter of helping the poor, it's a matter of rehabilitating, in many cases, the maladjusted.
Our guest tonight, Congressman William Ayers, Republican from Ohio. Our topic is the poverty program, a boondoggle. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Look, I'm quite self-sufficient. I made myself what I am, thank you.
But don't you think all of us occasionally could use a little divine or...
Gee, I gotta run. Here's my card, anyhow. I'm a vice president now.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed.
But your name, it's just penciled in here.
Well, there's a big turnover in personnel. You know how it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just about how it is in life, isn't it?
Pardon?
We're all just penciled in.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People. Our guest tonight is Congressman William Ayers, the Republican representative from Ohio, and our topic is the poverty program, a boondoggle. And as you'll recall, Congressman Ayers is the minority leader on the Education and Labor Committee in the House. If you'd like to make a comment on the poverty program or ask a question of the congressman, give us a call here at Night Call. Now, you just dial area code 313-846-6601, and you'll get right on through to us here at Night Call. Now, you may dial us direct if you wish, and if you also would care to, you may make that call collect. Our number, area code 313-846-6601. If you get a busy signal, don't become discouraged. Just hang up and dial us again. Area code 313-846-6601. 66601. Our Night Call lines are now open, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. We want to hear your opinion. And Congressman Ayers, I have a caller in Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN, Mrs. Norma Harper. Good evening, Norma. Speak right up. You're on Night Call.
Yes, good evening. First of all, I would like to say that I certainly agree heartily with the viewpoint of this congressman. And, well, it is true, I think the basic a need to help is not, it's certainly commendable, because there is great need, there has been, and there will continue to be. But from, as a former teacher, it's been my observation that this has been a, it hasn't really been gotten off the ground, and not, it has been a political plum for the top echelon, and very little has been allowed to sit down to where the, to the people who really need it. And I would like to ask the congressman that, I'm sorry I didn't get his name.
It's William Ayers.
Mr. Ayers, I would hope that it would not be too late to make another fresh start, and that Sergeant Schreiber would be open-minded enough to let people who might give it some impetus, not from the top down, but from the bottom up. In the way of re-education, I think this is a marvelous idea, but not in making it handouts, but in a more constructive way.
Well, see, Norm, I couldn't agree with you more. And what should have been done, rather than to continue this program by doubling the appropriation and putting $1 billion, $700 million into a program, as you point out, that hasn't gotten off the ground has been a political plum. If they had just gone back to my original bill and taken a survey of what had been done and what could be done, because I'm of the opinion, and I don't want to make a prediction on it, however, but I'm of the opinion, in view of the fact that Sergeant Shriver did an excellent job as the director of the Peace Corps, that his personal image has been damaged by this boondoggle and is tarnished to the point that I anticipate that he'll be leaving this program in the near future. And there will be an appraisal of it. In fact, at the present time, the Education and Labor Committee has a special committee set up that is going all over the country in investigating the operations. And here's one thing that we're running into, Norma, already, is that the vast majority of people, and there are some real dedicated people who would like to help in the program, but the vast majority are not only incompetent in this field, but have had no training. Also, they are disrupting our local social organizations. For instance, the director of a program in New Jersey was being paid $25,000 a year, which is more than the state cabinet officer and his assistant receives, which is only $19,000. In Newark, New Jersey, we found that the salaries being paid the administrators of the so-called poverty program were nearly doubled what the social workers were. For instance, we have dedicated social workers trained in this field, dedicated school teachers who are making as little as $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a year. Someone comes in over them making $15,000 and $16,000 that is not known in the community at all, and when we check into them, we find that they're not competent to administer these programs, but they have known the right political figures.
Well,
and I hope that when we get through with the investigation, that there will be a real close look taken at the whole operation.
Congressman, I have in front of me a clipping from the Wall Street Journal. I don't have the date that it was published, but they make this quote. Would you explain this to me? Under federal law, the poor, and I'm quoting now, must be given maximum feasibility participation in running things. Now, what does that mean?
Well, in the law, it was suggested but not mandatory that those people who fell in a poverty category, who were familiar with the problem, would have a voice in the program. But where that has been defeated, so to speak, has been through the political machines where they could prove that it wasn't feasible because they said they weren't competent. But in view of what we have found, I'm convinced that some of the poor people, just because they were poor, didn't make them incompetent to advise what should be done to correct many of the situations that we found existing, primarily in the slum areas of our large cities.
So there was an attempt to allow the poor to have some say.
Well, it was written in maximum feasible participation of the poor. But that's sort of a play on words, too. Who's going to explain maximum feasible? They could get around that very easily.
That sounds like a little bit of Washingtonese there.
You're right.
Well, I just want to, in closing, would like to say, hopefully, we hope it's still not too late to do it right about face and really evaluate and try to rescue something of a good idea that was basically there.
Well, I don't want to put this on a strictly political basis, but here's what you're up against. And this is going to take a little education on the part of the public and our responsible party leaders. We all realize that what makes our country a great republic is a strong two-party system. But the truth of the matter is, with the ratio of, as it is, 294 Democrats to 141 Republicans in the House, and all of the committees, of course, are chaired by the majority party. And it isn't customary to investigate your friends or doubt the judgment of your relatives. And as long as the chairmanship of these committees is controlled by the same party as the administration, I don't think you're really going to get the real facts as to what is going on in the administration of this, which is, of course, through the executive branch. I am convinced.
I would like to take it out of the realm of politics and say we're all basically Americans and working for the same goal.
Well, we like to think that, and I couldn't agree with you more. On the other hand, if the investigatory machinery were in the hands of an opposition party, whether it was the Democrats running it, the Republicans investigating, or vice versa, you would come closer to getting the real facts and then come up, as you point out, with a program that would be designed to help the poor and not to promote the political party that happened to be able to spend the money.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling Night Call, Norma. We appreciate it. This is Norma Harper from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLM. Let's go back out to Denver now. This is Margaret Salinger. Good evening, Margaret. Speak right up. You're on Night Call, ma'am.
Good evening. I'm delighted to have Mr. Ayers on. I was just reading today in the Wall Street Journal of the latest scandal in the youth corps down in Charlottesville, Illinois. And there they got together on a Sunday morning and hurriedly listed, filled out their rosters with the Democratic children. And out of all of them, they had 27 boys and 10 girls, and not more than five of them, they said, were really poor. The rest were sons and daughters of the leading Democrats who already were holding offices. And I just wonder if it might not be a good idea to make a little bit of an investigation into the Peace Corps. This has been such a debacle. It's just purely a boondoggle. And I wonder, we only have Sergeant Shriver's word for how successful the Peace Corps has been. I wonder what we might find if we investigated.
Well, Margaret, I would like to keep our topic tonight on the poverty program. We can go into the Peace Corps another night. So I'm going to ask the Senator and the Congressman not to answer that particular comment, but he's more than welcome to comment on anything about this Illinois thing.
Well, right in, Russ, with many of the way these programs are being operated. Of course, in the current issue of Time Magazine, and Margaret might want to check on this on page 33, it points out what has been happening in the hiring of these supposedly poor children, when in fact in Johnston, Rhode Island, it turned out that the 91 youths enrolled in an anti-poverty program came from families whose incomes averaged $5,000 and more, far above the $2,400 ceiling set by the OEO. And in fact, this needs a real thorough going into, because right out in your area, five members of the Colorado Springs Anti-Poverty Governing Body were found to have police records for such offenses as sodomy, escape from mental institutions, burglary, operation of a disorderly house, and suspected assault with intent to commit murder. This isn't an isolated case. So the whole program needs a very, very thorough and positive investigation.
Margaret, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Well, there was something
yes.
I had in mind, too, Mr. Gibbs.
Okay.
I wonder if it seems to me that our news media are quite controlled. Now, here I hadn't heard anything about this situation in Colorado Springs, and I live here in Denver. I wonder if pressure couldn't be brought to bear, or maybe more of encouragement. Perhaps some of these news media are fearful of saying too much about what is going on for fear of reprisal. I wonder if there can't be something done so that this message can get out to the people, that we may know what is going on, and I think that it's imperative that we know.
Well, at this point, Margaret, I'd like to suggest, and it may be that the few little things that we can say here on Night Call will have their impact, but I would like to suggest to all of those listening, whether they agree with my position or not, that they get with their congressman and let him know just exactly what they think, because it's in the House of Representatives, really, where this is going to have to be straightened out. And let your congressman know how you feel and tell him to express your views here in Washington. That this is such a boondoggle, and we're wasting the taxpayers' money to the tune, I repeat, $1.7 billion in this fiscal year. At the present time, the chairman of the committee that authorized the expenditure. Mr. Adam Clayton Powell, of course, is heading the investigation of the poverty program. His funds for investigation, for that matter, are limited. But if the American people become aroused through their congressman, it may be that we'll be able to get a constructive program in effect.
Margaret, thank you. Margaret, we have to break for our stations now, and I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank
you. Good night. Miss Margaret Salinger from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN.
Our guest tonight, Congressman William Ayers, Republican from Ohio. Our topic is the poverty program, a boondoggle. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Busy America! Busy America! Busy making money, busy buying gadgets, busy keeping up with you-know-who.
Is that your idea of fulfillment? Don't you wonder if there's more to life than just that rat race with no finish line?
Where do you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
All right, fine. Thank you, Congressman. Our guest tonight is Congressman William Ayers, Republican from Ohio. Our topic is the poverty program, a boondoggle. Boondoggle, I guess. Boy, that one's throwing me. Boondoggle, I guess you'd say. What does that mean, by the way, Congressman?
That means situation confused.
If you'd like to join us here on Night Call, give us a call at area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may call from anywhere collect, and please make that call station to station. The number here at Night Call, area code 313-846-6601. And Congressman Ayers, we now have a caller from Bozeman, Montana, a listener on KXXL, Mr. Jim Mayo. Good evening, Jim. Speak right up, sir. You're on Night Call.
Good evening, Russ, Congressman. I have a question here about, two or three weeks ago or a month ago, I read in a magazine, I think it was Crew magazine, about an article written about this war on poverty. And it pertained about a community up in Michigan or Wisconsin, I'm not sure, but anyhow, they were trying to force this poverty program in on them, and they didn't want it. Through some research, through some college or something, I think.
Yes, I'm familiar with that case in Michigan where they tried to make them accept $180,000 or so, and they couldn't find anybody that was poor in the whole area. In fact, there wasn't anyone that would qualify under the salary stipulation. And they finally put on enough pressure that that was up at Ypsilanti, if you recall.
Yes.
But they said, you take your money, and they set up an organization to fight accepting the money.
Well, and then the thing that really got me, though, was, I mean, these people had to fight them, and I can see that in the article, but the thing that really got me was they mentioned several areas in the United States where the amount of money that had been allotted for their poverty program was... Well, I think one place was $59,000 or something like this was what that state had been allowed, but the administrative cost was $51,000 or $52,000. Well, what did they tend to do with $7,000 or $8,000 for poverty?
Yes. Well, the average family income in this area, Jim, was around $7,500 a year.
Yes.
Jim, could we say that you're a little bit concerned about how the money is being spent on the poverty program then.
Yes, I am very much so, because the thing is, you know, they cited several areas in the United States where there was the amount of money that state was going to get was, or that area was going to owe $50,000, $60,000. I forget just the exact figures now. But the after the administrative costs, the people that was going to run this program, and the office space and so on, was obtained, this only left, I think, around $7,000 to $10,000 to actually work on the poverty program.
Jim, do you think the idea of a poverty program is a good idea?
What?
Do you feel that the idea of a poverty program, the idea behind the program, is good or bad?
Well, I can see its good points, but some people, I don't think there's anything you can do to help them. I mean, some people just don't have ambition. There's nothing they want. I mean, I don't know.
Well, we do know, Jim, that poverty exists. In fact, I can appreciate what it is to be poor. My own father was just a circuit rider, and I think I was about 12 years old before I even had a new pair of pants. But we were taught basic principles to abide by. Because in the final analysis, when we get right down to it, our country isn't going to be any stronger than the type of living that goes on in the average American home. And until we can correct that, we aren't going to be able to make good boys out of bad boys by transferring them from Harlem to Atterbury and so forth. This whole thing needs sort of a moral revival, you might say, and you're not going to do it just by allocating billions of dollars out of Washington for political purposes. In fact, right along the line that you're talking about in Ypsilanti, we found that one large grant was made to a university to handle the poverty program, and the local people didn't even know about it. In fact, millions of dollars were appropriated and programs were authorized just to get rid of the money to get it off the ground. In fact, when this program started, Adam Yarmolinsky was going to be the deputy director, I read on the floor of the House from Mr. Yarmolinsky where he had advised the Defense Department to get this show on the road before Election Day. They wanted an impact made. In other words, make it appear as though something is happening, whether it really is or not, because, as you will recall, that was a presidential election year.
Yes.
Jim, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to school here in Baldwin. I don't get to listen to your program every night, but I do enjoy it when I do.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, Jim. Good night. Mr. Jim Mayo, gentleman listening on KXXL out in Montana. Let's go to Denver, Colorado now. Listener on KTLN, Mrs. B. Jackson. Good evening, B. Speak right up. You're on Night Call.
Why, being the time is getting short, I'd like to ask the congressman why we cannot take the poverty program out of the politics.
Why we cannot get the poverty program out of the political arena?
That's right.
Well, the whole thing was conceived for political purposes to begin
that's
with,
true,
because
but if we're going to help the public, why can't we all buckle down and do something? Now, you know the mess that has been made in Denver, Colorado, on this program.
Yes.
Has it been investigated here yet in Denver?
You say, has it been?
Has it? Yes.
No, Denver is going to be on the list. They have taken the what they call their worst trouble spots first. But, in fact, I don't think it's going to make any difference, Ms. Jax. What city you go into, you're going to find this boondoggling going on as long as the political people are running it.
All right, that's true. But now, a letter was sent to President Johnson and also to Mr. Schreiber. A 9-page typewritten letter, very, very long. Either one of them did not acknowledge the letter.
Well, I would like to make this suggestion, Ms. Jax. Many times when these letters go down to the executive department, they do get lost or they don't want to answer them. But I'd suggest this, that anything that you have, since I am the minority leader of the committee, anything that you have, and I'd say this to all of your listeners, Russ, If they'll drop me a note here at the Rayburn Building, Washington, D.C., just address it Congressman Bill Ayers, Rayburn Building, Washington, D.C., I'll get it. Explain to me what they think is wrong, what they know is wrong, and how they feel about it. I will certainly see that their congressman gets the message, and I will certainly see that they get a reply.
Right now, that's the Rayburn
Building, Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.
That's right.
And your last name was what?
Ayers, A-Y-R-E-S.
Congressman.
All right. Now, is this program just made specially for teenagers, families with children? Is this program not made for handicapped people, single people that need work just as well as other people? Is this here just for...
Well, yes, Ms. Jackson. We pointed out a little earlier in the program there is a great duplication of programs. We help the handicapped now, and we have a juvenile delinquency program. We have a manpower retraining program, all separate from the so-called anti-poverty program.
I'm familiar with the Manpower Training Act, but that has also worked on a political payoff here in Denver through our Colorado Employment Agency. And this has all been put in this information, this letter that was sent to Washington. And somehow or other, it's been pushed under the carpet.
Well, you get the information to me, Ms. Jackson. I'll see that it gets to the proper authorities.
Surely will, because I think that there's a lot here in Denver that nobody knows what's going on, and it's just in one little round circle, and this information has been thoroughly gone over bit by bit, and there really is nobody in Denver to hand it over to it because they're just using it as a football like they mentioned before, a payoff in the field.
Now, well, Mrs. Jackson, our time's just about up. I suggest that you get that letter off to... Okay, good night. Make sure you get that letter out to Congressman William Ayers from Ohio and get it down to the Rayburn Building in Washington, D.C. And, Mrs. Jackson, I know that Congressman Ayers will see that the proper people get your letter. That is right, isn't it, Congressman?
That is correct. Lots of times they don't seem to be able to contact their own representative, but I know most of the members here in the House personally, and I'll see that the information has gotten to the proper authorities.
Congressman Ayers, I want to thank you for being our guest on Night Call. We certainly enjoyed having you here, and I'm sure that our listeners have enjoyed your comments on the poverty program.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and I hope that something constructive will be forthcoming in this field.
Thank you, sir. Our guest tonight was Congressman William Ayers, Republican from Ohio. Our topic is the poverty program, a boondoggle. Tomorrow night on Night Call, we will take a look at the other side of the poverty program. Our guest is Mr. Robert Rossell, director of the poverty program in Detroit. Our topic, the poverty program is working. Until then, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station as a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life. Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.